This is In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and coming up here on the program today, we're going to hear from Pottawatomie County Schools. We'll also get a preview of the ceremony coming up on Friday here in Manhattan, the Day of Remembrance, 20th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 attacks with some members of the Flint Hills Volunteer Center and the committee that's putting that on. Should be a wonderful commemoration here at City Park. We'll do that here a little bit after 9:30. Joining us here for our first segment, we have Kevin Logan. He is the superintendent of our USD 323 Rock Creek Schools. Kevin, good morning. How are you doing today?
Brandon, doing well. Good morning to you. Appreciate you having me on again.
Absolutely. Lots going on here as the new school year gets going. We've got activities in full swing. Of course, we saw high school football last Friday. I don't recall. How did Rock Creek do in the football game?
We came up just short last Friday, and our opener was Silver Lake. Very well-played game by both sides. Very entertaining game to watch. Unfortunately, we just came out on the wrong end of that. But, you know, we have a lot of student athletes at the varsity level who had not played varsity football before. If I understand correctly, we had one returning starter. And then we only have six seniors out. So we're very sophomore junior based right now and have a lot of good football to look forward to.
Absolutely. Well, I know Wamego also had a tough game on Friday. It was an entertaining game of sorts. They had a four overtime game, but just came up a point short to Concordia. I think it was 42-41, if memory serves me right. So both of our Pottawatomie County schools come up just short here on Friday night. But it's good to see. You know, I think people are excited. It's an exciting time of the year when you have these activities come back here.
It is. You know, we had a great crowd Friday evening. A lot of fun to have everyone back out again. You know, and I don't want to shortchange. We've got middle school sports going on. We've got high school volleyball. We've got high school and middle school cross country. Lots of activities getting started. And people are enjoying being out there and being present at those. You know, they're not by any means the sole reason that schools exist. We're here for the academic world and preparation for careers. But, you know, it's something about those environments, a little bit more informal, that really bring a community together. Both our visitors, Silver Lake, and our home crowd had a great showing Friday night. And it was just a really nice environment.
We're joined here on the program now as Greg Mann, Interim Superintendent Wamego, joins us as well. Greg, it's good to talk to you again. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry to be late.
Oh, hey, not a problem. Not a problem at all. We're just kind of getting going here talking about activities. We mentioned the craziness that was the football game in Wamego here on Friday. You guys had a heartbreaker of a loss, but good to see a fun game last Friday.
Four overtimes, both teams. I mean, they were about as evenly matched as they could be. It's a shame that the game. It was a shame that somebody had to lose. Quite honestly, it was a good game. And like Kevin was talking about, great atmosphere. You know, kids were really into it. Fans were into it. When the game was over, and Wamego kids were leaving the field, they were given a standing ovation by the crowd. You know, it was excellent, you know, and I noticed after the game, people were talking with Concordia kids, congratulating them on the game they played. It was just a very positive situation.
I've noticed, you know, one thing that we've seen over the past years, more school districts, and I'm sure you guys are probably doing something similar here, are taking advantage of using the technology we have to bring some of these games, whether it's football, volleyball, other events, to viewers. A lot of schools have been doing video. I don't know if you guys are partaking in that or not, but it's kind of neat to see all the opportunities people have. They can still watch games even if they can't make it to the game.
Yeah, we have we broadcast our games on a YouTube channel, and we purchased some of those. I'm not sure exactly what the technical term for them is, Brandon, but through a huddle, we got some cameras that track action. And so you don't actually have to have somebody running a camera. The camera actually follows the action. And so and it also then broadcasts the time and the score on the same screen. So it's almost like being at the game because, you know, the camera follows the action. Whether it's what we have one in the gym and for the indoor sports, and we also have one out at the football stadium.
Cool.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of the same. We haven't hosted home volleyball yet at the high school level to have that. We did a lot of the National Federation programming at our basketball games last year. And then at the high school football this year, they are streaming that. And it's kind of cool. We've got some Rock Creek alumni who are engineering that. They are the commentators for it. They've got the different cameras set up. So, you know, it's a work in progress. But those guys, it's nice when you have your hometown guys excited about it. And they're coming back and running this for us. So it's really neat.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Activities really make it a lot of fun here in the fall. Of course, we got some serious notes here we're going to talk about as well. I know, Kevin, you wanted to talk about COVID numbers and, unfortunately, a situation at St. George that is not a good situation right now.
Well, it's getting better. We did have a COVID outbreak down at St. George last week. It was listed on KDHE's list of clusters. When they publish that, I believe it may be today that comes out. We have, I believe, currently 19 active cases down at St. George. 15 of those are at one grade level between staff and students at the one grade level. And then many of those, 15 in one classroom. So we know where that was centered at. Then across the district, we don't have many other cases, a couple at the middle and high school, I believe one up at Westmoreland, but there is a considerable number of quarantines that have come forward, you know, from those positive cases. The good news is yesterday with our test to stay and learn plan, we of those who are serving their quarantine time at school testing every day, we had zero new positives yesterday. So that is a very good turn of events. Whereas last week, it seemed like we had one or two new COVID cases almost each day of those kids that were in the test and learn. So that's tapering itself off also. So again, we're just encouraging everybody to be vigilant with washing their hands, keeping physically distanced. We've put additional plexiglass in several classrooms where it wasn't in place before. And then our board will have a discussion again, I'm sure, on Monday about if we want to change our optional masking policy right now to something more restrictive. But that'll be a conversation for Monday night at the board meeting.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting, and I don't know if a lot of folks know about the test and learn. Is it test and learn or is it stay and learn program?
Well, we have one that's called test to stay.
Okay.
If a child is not feeling well, has symptoms, and the only test we have right now currently is the antigen COVID test, but it takes, you know, less than 15 minutes. And a nurse can test the child and see if they are COVID positive or not with a 90%+ degree of accuracy. And that's the one test. The other one is if a child is considered a close contact and would otherwise be in quarantine, we have the test to stay and learn plan or protocol. And that is if the child would normally be put into quarantine by county health or by their family physician, they can stay in school and test daily to continue their normal school life, with the one caveat to that being that they must be in a mask the entire time they're on the bus, in school, or outside within 6 feet of someone for more than 10 minutes. It does not pertain to cross country and or football if they are involved in those activities because of proximity of moving in and out. If they're inside with volleyball, they have to wear a mask during practices and competition. But that has kept, I think we have 38 kids in that test to learn and protocol right now. So that's kept 38 kids per day in school that otherwise would have been at home on quarantine. So that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's I'm sure there's probably not a lot of resistance then, you know, with the requirements that are in place with that. If you have to wear a mask, people are probably, I would imagine, following suit on that.
Yeah, we haven't had any in-house issues that we haven't been able to clear up with just a quick conversation.
All right. Well, Greg, I know if I remember, you guys are doing something similar, right, with that program?
Yes, we've actually opened a COVID test center in a building downtown, and it's staffed by two nurses with an administrative assistant, and we're running the same program. We have the test to know, you know, if somebody is symptomatic, we can test them, and then also then the test to stay. And we are using that with students as well as employees. We've had a couple of employees who were close contacts. We've been able to allow them to continue to keep working by virtue of them testing negative each day. So our numbers, we started the year with some relatively high numbers as far as positives and close contacts, but our numbers have really plummeted here in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Right as of yesterday, we only have a total of 18 students in quarantine, and we only have a total of 3 positive cases in the district, you know, out of 1,600 and some odd kids. So we're feeling pretty good about that right now. The board had adopted the policy that we were going to wear masks for the first 3 weeks of school and then let the numbers dictate whether we continue to wear mandate masks or whether they would be optional. And so we'll be collecting numbers again this evening and having that meeting tomorrow, because this is the end of the 3 weeks. So we'll be making a decision with what we call our COVID guidance team about what we're going to do with masks next week.
All right. Well, at this point here, you know, we're kind of, the school year's in its infancy at this point. Kevin, what's your message to parents right now in the district?
You know, I guess patience is the one thing. Understanding is another. Tolerance, obviously, because across our communities, we still have those that are very much, everyone should be in masks. We have those that are, nobody should be in masks, or make them completely optional. So it's just understanding of one another. And our kids are doing a wonderful job of that. I would say in the last week, since we did have the outbreak down at St. George Elementary, we have seen more masking of students. We've seen a little bit more masking of staffs. That has been, again, moving primarily from south and north. There hasn't been the increase at Westmoreland as there was at St. George. And again, it's how it affects the individual ends of the district. But patience and tolerance and understanding would be what I would ask for.
All right. Greg, what about for you here?
I've got nothing to add to that. That was outstanding. Patience and tolerance and understanding, please.
All right. Very good.
We're all doing the best we can here.
Yeah. It's not easy to manage COVID at all, especially for the schools. Let's take a break. We'll come back and segment number two with our Pottawatomie County Schools officials right after this on News Radio KMAN.